Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy and honored to get to hang out with you guys today. And I'm just excited to go into the holiday season with all of you. We are wrapping up with a couple more podcasts related to parenting hot topics, most frequently asked questions. And then we're going to go into the holidays. And I can't wait to talk about holiday themed topics here on the podcast. Now, before we dive into today's very hot topic, which, by the way, there's going to be a lot of show notes today. So I encourage you to go over to show notes at monicaswanson.com/discipline. Make sure you check for, we're going to share any Bible verses over there, some links to other places, as well as a free download that I'm offering to everyone listening today. So be sure to check out show notes. But before we dive into today's conversation, I'm going to share a recent review over on Apple Podcasts. Each month, I like to share one review. And if you hear yours being shared, email me, and then I will send you a little Starbucks card as a thank you. So today, I'm reading a review from Jen Zeljkovic. Jen Z. You'll know that's you if that's your last name. Zeljkovic. And she titled it Boy Mom Wisdom, gave the podcast 5 stars. Thank you so much. And she wrote, I wish I could hang around Monica, but because I'm in Florida instead of Hawaii, listening to her podcast and reading her books is the next best thing. She is so relatable and I want to be just like her. Wow, thank you. She makes our family feel so normalized as we raise 2 sweet but active boys, homeschool them, and try to share Jesus with them daily. Thank you, Monica, for constantly bringing us real life content and for being a voice of wisdom. Sending love and thanks from our whole family. Well, Jen Z, thank you so much. Definitely email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. I'm going to send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. And guys, it's really easy to leave ratings and reviews. If you don't know how, ask a young person in your life, but you can do it right there on your podcast app. Scroll down till you see the 5 stars, click on them. And then if you have a moment, leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. And now, without further ado, let's dive in and have a conversation about disciplining our children. And we're going to welcome my husband, Dave, to join us for this. Hey, Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Like, really.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
Everyone listening can guess that discipline is a big topic to cover. And when I do my Thursday Q&As on Instagram, which, by the way, if you're not tuning into those, the first and third Thursdays of the month, I am doing Q&As on Instagram. We have some really great conversations on all kinds of topics over there. And you can find me on Instagram at @MonicaSwanson_. So we'll continue this conversation over there for sure. But as far as today's conversation goes, I do want to let you know, Dave and I are going to spend about the first half of this chat really talking about the whys of discipline, especially as Christians, what our motivation is, and some foundational principles. So I hope you don't skip over that. But then the second half, we'll get a little bit more practical, share some of the things we've done. And then, of course, you'll find the principle over in show notes. So let's do this, Dave.
Did you bring me in because I'm the disciplinarian of our family?
Well, not exactly.
Or you think that I am?
I just need you to hold my hand while we talk about this.
Okay.
Right?
But I was going to just to add, we both are very involved with the discipline.
Yes.
You might be more than me because
I think whoever's home with kids the most.
Yep.
And in the early days, Dave was in medical school and residency.
Yeah.
So I was mostly with those kids.
Right.
Now you're around a little more.
Yeah. But we're both speaking from experience.
That's right. So for those of you who don't know Dave, Dave is a hospital physician. He's an amazing dad. He wrote a section in each chapter of my book, Raising Amazing. He wrote a word to the dads, which I highly recommend you have your husbands read. They'll be better husbands and dads for it, right?
Yeah. Have you been getting good feedback?
Totally.
That's good.
And if you listen to the Audible version, you'll hear Dave's voice reading it. So great for road trips. Hey, you've got Thanksgiving coming up. If you're going to be in the car, listen to Raising Amazing together.
I don't have the radio voice that you do, though.
No, you do. Okay. You're good. All right. But we have a lot to cover. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about discipline, and there's no way we can cover everything. But like I said earlier, I do have a free printable download that hopefully will add to this conversation. So where are we going to start, Dave? Why do we lead. I'm going to do that.
I mean, not like in biblical marriage.
No, we want you to lead. But for the sake of this conversation. Yes. So Dave, I'm going to have you kick us off by telling us why disciplining our kids is important still in the year 2024.
Wow. Is it any even less important than it has been from 2000 BC, 3000 BC?
It's just as important, just less popular.
Yeah.
Less trending.
Still the same humans.
Yep.
Still the same problems.
Right. So why do we need to discipline?
Well, because you and I both know that folly is bound up in the heart of a child.
I think that's in the Bible.
Is that where I got that from?
Yeah. Proverbs.
Yeah. And what's the second part of that?
Will you tell us?
Well,
what gets rid of the folly? What does it say?
Isn't it the rod of discipline?
The rod of discipline.
Yeah. Discipline is an important part of being good parents.
It is. But it's a whole nother thing when you have to discipline your kids. Because it's not a fun part of parenting.
Right.
We love those cute little...
But the results of discipline are fun.
They're amazing, but sometimes things take a long time to show us the results.
Right. But if we do it, and we can speak to the fact that if you are on it and doing it well and proactive and intentional in the early years of childhood, it's maybe not as arduous of a journey.
Absolutely correct. And for those listening who have little ones especially, I mean, if you're pregnant and listening, or maybe share this with people you know who don't even yet have kids, because the earlier you start, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I also want to encourage you, if your kids are older, if you're struggling in this area, there's always, always hope. God is going to help you. But the earlier you get on this, you'll be glad.
Mm-hmm.
And our first three sons, for anyone who's new to the podcast, we have kids who are boys, all boys who are 25, 23, 20, and then a 14-year-old. And I would say the first two, even three kids, I was really, really intentional about discipline. And it has paid off tenfold.
Yep.
So I'm really grateful. I'll just confess up front, because this will come up throughout our conversation, but our fourth son was born when I was already working online, homeschooling the older boys. We were busier, and I don't think I was as intentional. So there's been a lot more work later. But let's dive in then. A couple more verses maybe about why discipline matters in the early years. I mean, God's word is really clear on this. There's not really room for argument on that.
Yeah. I mean, we just kind of pointed to scripture, but we know that just naturally too, just in our own observations of children, right? We've seen that in like, man, how early do we start to see the sinful nature rearing its... Oh. Head in our kids' behavior patterns.
Absolutely. From the time kids are very young, you can see that they have a sin nature.
Yeah.
I mean, in those toddler years, you don't have to teach a two-year-old to say mine or no, or to snatch a toy out of someone's hands.
Right. And we're putting it in biblical terms when we say sin nature. And I'm sure there's people outside of your normal audience that would be like, oh, what are you talking about? And, you know, this is some type of historical, traditional view that's not relevant to the real world we're in. But come on, any parent, whether you're an atheist or you're a God-fearing, you know, Christian, you know that children by nature do not want to obey.
Right. And that's right. You don't have to teach them.
The soon as those motor skills start developing in the hands.
Facial expressions.
I mean.
I've seen a baby.
Yeah.
Some facial expressions.
How about those, like, when we've said no, and you get that little pause and that look, and then the hand goes out to reach for that whatever we said no to.
That's right.
And they'll just keep testing and pushing boundaries.
That's
That's just. Now, so, then, and there's some range, right? I mean, there's kids that have just a gentle spirit and a tendency
from
towards like wanting to please. And I mean, that those things start to come out early on, but there's just a nature that, that still, the truth of scripture is evident, right?
Yes.
The folly that's bound up in the child. We can all attest to that.
Yes, so true. Okay, here's another good verse, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Mm.
It's a good one. So I think right there, again, we're reminded that it's our job. It says fathers. I think this is both parents. But it's our job to bring up our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of starting with the why of discipline. But
yes.
There's a little bit of the how in there too, right?
Right.
But yeah, as parents, we're called to this role.
Yes.
And part of that is just everything that we do for our children, you know, the actions that we take are grounded in our love for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hopefully every parent out there, no matter who you are, what walk of life you're coming from, no matter where you're at in a understanding of who God is and a relationship with him, you have a natural, you know, inherent desire to want to do the right thing for your kids.
That's right.
And hopefully, you know, that moral law that's working within in all of our hearts is working in your heart as you approach parenting.
That's right.
But we have beyond that, you know, we're given sort of a calling, a charge, a command, you know, as believers to do things in love, and that, you know, includes in the way we parent our children.
That's right.
So not exacerbating, you know, our children,
right,
provoking them to anger. It's in the context of love.
Yeah.
We're looking at our kids and we're looking at their future. We're just not looking at the here and now, and we're doing that out of love, right?
Absolutely. And Dave, I would love for you to speak about something I've heard you talk about. I've quoted you in my books, but it's the fact that we in the home, as loving parents, if we discipline well, we are actually saving our kids from more consequential discipline that they can one day get in the world or are likely to receive if we don't discipline them at home.
Yeah. Somebody once talked about how the consequences of the world and what it's going to do to your children, be it, you know, the law catching up with your kids for wrong behavior, breaking the laws of the land. I mean, there's no mercy, you know.
Yeah,
in the law that we know in our world. I mean,
the
government doesn't love your kids.
Yeah.
You do,
right.
And there's mercy and grace that they can find in a parent that loves them. Way better to discipline your kids early in life before they've left your jurisdiction in your home, rather than allowing to find out what it's going to be like to be disciplined by the world outside of them that does not love them, because the consequences can be and will be much potentially more severe and long lasting. Yeah. And the Frederick Douglass quote, you remember that one?
Please read it.
It's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. Yeah. I mean, so there's not only the issue of like the consequences are going to be very unfavorable for your kids if the discipline has to happen after they've been raised by you, but only that, the problem of trying to retrain a human being after they've already grown up is way, way harder. Or if not impossible, there's a window of opportunity, isn't there, when kids are teachable, trainable, moldable. I mean, their brain's developing. You have that unique opportunity as a parent. There's a window of time.
There is. And I think that is such a good point. I love it so much. I also wanted, while we're still on the why here of discipline, I did want to share, because I've been reflecting a bit recently on Hebrews chapter 12. I'll put the full reference over in show notes because there's a number of verses there. But there's a whole passage there about discipline and how God disciplines us as his kids. And it says in verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Goes on, verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So again, I encourage you to go over to Hebrews and read that whole section and just be encouraged. I know when our boys were young, I learned from a mentor to keep some of these verses, some of the Proverbs that we'll refer to and some of these other verses written down. I hung some on the refrigerator. I remember I just needed to turn to them often because it's so easy to neglect to discipline because it's exhausting. It can feel draining. Sometimes we don't feel like we're getting results, so we just want to give up. And especially when our culture isn't encouraging discipline, we need reminders that we're not just doing this for an immediate result. We're doing it out of obedience to God's word and trusting that his ways are best and that there will be fruit in time. As I often quote Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So I hung verses up to remind me and to help me stay true to what I'm called to do as a parent.
I mean, on that kind of why on the discipline part, I mean, you know, it's the future like we were kind of saying earlier, but yeah, a harvest of righteousness. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't want that for their kid?
Exactly.
And the opposite is true. I mean, I think we were talking about what is it in 2 Timothy? Just kind of looking forward into the future of our culture and the world that we live in.
Yeah.
What is it? Paul's talking about how there'll be terrible times in the last days. And one of the highlights is that, you know, children or people, I should say, will be lovers of themselves, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, just goes on and on. But
wow.
I mean, look at our culture now. You and I mean, I'm sure every culture, you know, looks kind of at the kids that are coming up and have, you know, negative things to say because there's a generational gap. Mm-hmm. I get that. But you and I would both agree. I mean, there's a shift, right?
Absolutely.
And
yes.
I can't help but think that our culture, I mean, part of that shift, you know, the things that are tethering, holding kind of things together, the goodness that's in our world and our culture, mm-hmm. you know, here in the United States where we live. I mean, I can't help but think that some of the things that are loosening, that we're seeing happening here, have to do with forsaking
Absolutely.
Proper discipline.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's not, we're not talking about just spanking. We're just talking about discipline. I mean, everything that encompasses discipline. You have to have parents involved with children in their lives, especially during that window of time that we'll talk more about.
That's right. Can I share a couple more Proverbs? Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save him from Sheol. So there's that. We'll talk more about the rod in a moment.
There's an eternal component to this.
But also Proverbs 13:26, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline. So again, that word diligent, we're talking about intentional, purposeful discipline. So we can chat a little bit more.
And can I just say, we're outlining or highlighting some specific scripture. And isn't it great? We can go to scripture and get a blueprint on discipline and some of the whys and the hows that we're talking about now. But we're just sharing scripture that's thousands of years old, that's been with us through, you know, generation after generation. And we always see things through different lenses as time goes. And we would just challenge the people listening right now to get into scripture themselves. Yeah, look
absolutely.
At God's word. Let scripture interpret scripture, like our pastor would probably say, and you know, the whole counsel of God. I mean, look at all of God's word, and then, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit to help guide and lead you in all truth, and be prayerful and think about, you know, how am I going to apply this to my parenting? Let God work on your heart in that area and fill in those details. I mean, you don't have to necessarily go to us for every little nitty gritty detail and specifics. I mean, God's going to help you work that out. There's too many variables in parenting, the kind of parent you are, your own personality, your children's personality, for us to give some kind of formula for that.
Right.
But we would encourage people just to go to the standard of God's word and let that speak to your heart.
Yep.
And if you're walking in faith and wanting to please the Lord, and then I would say, secondly, if you do have questions, mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to provide some resources right now in this podcast, but I would encourage people that are in a church, and hopefully, you know, if you're we're trusting that you're in a church that's, you know, Bible believing and mm-hmm. interpreting scripture, you know, correctly.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother topic, but hopefully that you have a pastor, you know, right. or elders, leaders in your church that you can go to for specific questions on what God's word is right. saying. And because I don't know if we can handle all that in this one right. podcast. Yeah.
And we'll share a few examples from how we raise our kids. I know on Thursdays I get a lot of that. Like, can you tell us what it looked like? How did you discipline your kids? So we'll share some of that. But like Dave mm-hmm. said, it's not prescriptive. It's descriptive of what we've done. But what I want to do, Dave, is I want to just kind of walk through what I consider four elements or maybe ingredients of this process of disciplining our kids, because I think it's really important to have the big picture view. So I want to say that all of this we're going to talk about, the foundation, our first step, is their relationship with your kids. So we want to make sure that we have a healthy relationship. In my book, Boy Mom, one of the first chapters talked about the four building blocks of a healthy relationship between a mother and a son. I think that can apply to either parents and either kids. But focus on a relationship that is healthy, that is happy, where there's a lot of laughter and love and cuddling, physical touch, all the things that lay a foundation for a healthy relationship. Joshua McDowell said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And so I think it's important to just remember that when you discipline, if you don't have a healthy relationship there, it could definitely go sideways. So start with a foundation, whatever age your kids are, start with that foundation of relationship. And then the second and third steps or elements that really go together are teaching and training. So you want to teach kids the right way to do life, to behave. Sometimes we start to correct them when we've never even taught them what they're supposed to do. Think they come into this world with no idea what's going on. And if they're just observing what other people are doing on the playground or, you know, somebody in the neighborhood, they may be learning wrong ways. So let's teach our kids. And then with that, right after that, is the training part.
Mm-hmm.
Training is, well, I have the definition here. Oh, how's that?
Let's do it.
Training is simply the process of learning the skills you need to do a particular job or activity.
Mm.
So I think you were a soccer player. Luke is a surfer. He doesn't play surfing. Mm-hmm. Luke surfs. Levi plays golf. And for each of those, you have to practice a lot. And we call that training. So let's make sure that when we teach our kids things, we give them an opportunity to train in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do some practice sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the most quoted Bible verses on the topic of parenting is Proverbs 22, verse 6, that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So there's that word training them in the direction we want them to go. And that's hard to do if you live such a hectic, rushed life that there's no time for it. So I encourage you to slow down and set up some opportunities to practice. You know, I talk about before you go to the grocery store, play grocery store. Say, hey, mom's going to take you to the grocery store. Let's pretend you're in the cart with me. How are you going to behave? And walk through what that should look like. Maybe offer a little reward at the end if they do well. I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's life, right? When you behave well in life, good things happen. So that's my opinion. That's a whole nother topic. But practice, train, right?
Yeah.
Anything else to say on that topic?
I think that covers that.
Okay. So we're starting with relationship, now we're teaching, then we're training, and then that fourth step, which is what this topic really is today, is correcting. The discipline is the correction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's talk a little bit more about how to correct.
Mm. That rod of discipline that we kept referring to earlier?
Yes. Yes, and other discipline techniques that we can talk about, but let's start with that.
Yeah.
Hey friends, if you are a homeschooling family or thinking about becoming one, I want to make sure to tell you about our family's favorite math and science curriculum. DiveIntoMath.com offers amazing classes in both science and math through the AP level. Now, many of you know that my oldest sons went on to college to study engineering and data analytics, and they give credit to Dr. Shorman of Dive Into Math for both getting into college and having a successful college experience coming out of homeschooling. They have since then, of course, graduated from college and landed great jobs. So we give Dr. Shorman a lot of credit often. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he also teaches the why of learning math, which I think makes a big difference. He offers self-paced courses in a state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and auto-grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself, and he's like the nicest guy you could ever know. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is super important if you want to keep that door open for your kids to go to college. Now, you can also earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. Definitely go over to DiveIntoMath.com, check out all they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed, and your kids are going to love the classes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a theologian. I do study scripture, and I try to, you know, look at it and apply it the best I can into to our situation.
That's right.
You know, but as far as I can tell, I mean, some people will say that the rod of discipline does have to do with like something that you use to inflict discomfort. Mm-hmm. You know, that thing, that verse you read about, you know, he will not die. I mean, it implies that there's something that's uncomfortable, that maybe some physicality to it. Some people will describe that the use of that rod is kind of more referencing the idea of a rod or staff that a shepherd would use to help guide and steer, you know, a sheep in the right direction. And I think there's probably the context of the verse matters. And so depending on how it's being used in the verse might be helpful. You have to do a deeper dive there. But we have learned that there is some correction that comes from using some degree of physicality, and that can be very simple things, right? Did you want to use some examples of what
first,
we've done?
Before we get any further into it, since you mentioned that shepherd's staff, I think it's good to even look at Psalm 23, where David is talking about his relationship with God, and he says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So I think that's important to consider, that a shepherd really brought comfort to his sheep because he had this rod that he used, yes, probably to fight off wolves or predators, but also to direct.
And keep them from going off of a cliff.
Yes, because as you always remind our kids, Dave, God's word is to provide and protect us. Mm. And so...
Josh McDowell, thanks for those words.
Yeah. But
I mean, that's and we see the Ten Commandments, all these thou shalt not. Yeah. Every one of those negative, you know, sort of statements actually equals a positive, right?
That's right.
It's providing and protecting.
Providing and protecting. And like we read in Hebrews, God disciplines us because he wants to provide and protect. And we need to do the same for our kids.
Yeah.
So that rod is a loving gesture.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of going back to some scenarios like we talked about, like, you know, your kid, I feel like it happened. I can't remember which of our kids, but the hot stove. Mm-hmm. I mean, has that not played out in every family situation?
Yes.
I mean, because we had always, you're always cooking and I've cooked a lot too
curious.
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just wanting to put your hand up there. And sometimes no doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we want to provide and protect. And this world is so full of potential danger and hazard. And I mean, we've seen some tragic things happen, you know, in the context of children and parents not being there to supervise or whatever, you know, you can imagine all the different scenarios. But I don't want my child to suffer harm.
No.
I mean, scalding water pouring off of, you know, a stove on your kid. I mean, all these disasters. So I know that I've had a time where it's just a little flick of the finger of on their little fatty, you know, yeah. palm of their hand or whatever it is, right. just to help them register what
the word no.
Yeah, and get something behind no. And the yes. and it worked, didn't it?
It did. And in fact, I'll just share some of what I did with our first two sons, especially because I guess I had the time and I was so committed while you are away at your residency and I'm home alone with kids. I would set up little training sessions where I would sit on the floor with a little, you know, probably 9 to 18 month old, and I would put something out in front of them that would be attractive to their eyes that they'd want to reach for, a pair of glasses or a phone. And when they reached for it, I would just quietly say the word no. And we had some little rubber tubing. It was like from a plumber's tubing, I believe. And I would just give that little flick on the hand as he reached, and I would use the word no. So I would set up training sessions, and I'm not saying they were fun, like ha-ha party fun, but they were enjoyable. It was a healthy environment. We would just do this little thing where he would reach. I would say no because I wanted him to connect my quiet, gentle no with a little bit of pain, something that would make him want to pull away.
Yeah. What did we use? We had that little tiny plastic.
Yeah, it was just like plumbing tubing.
Plumbing tubing.
Somebody
That's what
taught
it was.
Me about that. So we had oh, yeah. a few of those around the house.
It was our version of a switch.
Yeah. A little gentle rod.
Yeah. It was not a rod, but yeah. No. And I remember doing that with
yes.
our kids
yes.
with the outlets.
Yes.
I mean, we had the plastic.
Yeah.
The plastic cover,
little cover
protectors.
Yeah. Childproof.
But again, all the scenarios, like I don't want to rely on me
mm-hmm.
having to remember to cover.
Yeah. Because
you pull them out
it
to plug in a light.
Might be at someone else's house. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember, I want to say I did it with all four of our boys, but I know at least I tried to with,
sure.
with a few of them.
So,
we
yeah.
did the role play. I like see that. And, you know, if they tried to reach for it, I just said no. And if I ever saw them going for it, we had that switch just to...
Yeah.
Flick them on the hand.
That's right. And I don't think they ever felt unloved. It was certainly not abusive at all. It was just a training.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the early years, guys. So for those of you who have asked, at what age do you start training or disciplining? I say when they're very little, they will understand. Even before you can communicate and give them a lecture, you can just practice attaching your word no to some gentle discipline.
Right, right.
And then they grow up.
Mm.
And now they're 3, 4, 5, and they've learned how to throw fits, and it gets more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I don't think we can give like a one, you know.
One weight. Size fits all?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I will say they need discipline.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like parenting wisdom, knowing your kids, knowing mm-hmm. yourself.
Pray.
And
pray for
everything
wisdom.
In the context of understanding what God's word says about it,
mm-hmm.
doing everything in love.
Yeah.
Did we mention being consistent?
No, but that's about the hardest thing of all.
You want to comment on that?
Just you've got to be as consistent as you can. And none of us are perfect. But you don't want to, you know, one moment be on your game and then let it go for a couple days. You want to be as consistent as you can.
Right.
Otherwise, kids are going to feel like they're gambling. Like, well, maybe I'll get by with it this time.
Right.
Maybe not next time. It's really unhealthy yeah. to be inconsistent.
And we're not talking about that little flick on the wrist with the 2-year-old and the plug. We're just talking about discipline in general.
Yes.
Whatever your discipline is, how yes. you're disciplining, being consistent, right?
Yes. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And you don't want kids to think that sometimes they're going to get by with something and
yeah.
sometimes they're not.
Yeah. And I might be saying something that's obvious, but just to say it, as kids develop,
yeah.
and we saw this with our own kids as we had our first kid, and we kind of learned as we did it, there's developmental stages that you're watching
mm-hmm.
kids go through, and our disciplines sort of match their development. Like a lot more
yes.
of the discipline had to do with conversations.
Yes.
Talking things out.
Absolutely.
Have you mentioned currency yet?
No.
Okay. Did you want to do that now or later?
Sure, we can do that now. I think it's going to come up more and more as kids get older. And this will come up more when I talk about different types of consequences a little bit later. But you've probably heard me, if you've been around a while, talk about currency, which is just really figuring out what your kids value. And every kid's going to be different. But some kids are going to feel the most, you know, consequence if you take away something they love, their favorite toy or game. Some are going to be socially motivated. So if they can't go to a play date, that's going to really affect them. And so we'll talk more as kids get older about currency, but you kind of want to get to know your kids and figure out what will most motivate them to obey, and then use that to your advantage. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right.
And so a little bit more about those toddler, early, even, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-old years. Like you said, Dave, more conversation. Also, using Bible stories, using other, you know, storybooks to really focus on character. Show them why there is blessing for obedience. Talk about that. And then pray with them. Mm. Pray with them every day. Ask God to help them. And then when they're ready, I mean, some of our boys were quite young when they understood their sin and their need for salvation, and they wanted to make Jesus their Lord. Mm. And then they start to understand that, wow, they have the Holy Spirit. They have God's help. And you can really talk about that as they grow up. And that's super helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So one important thing in those years when you are disciplining, so whether it's some people find timeouts super effective, some people, again, use currency. If you're going to give a little spanking, really important. I probably don't need to say this, but you don't want to do any of it in anger. So whatever it takes, mom and dad, to be in control of your own emotions, make sure to regroup, get in, you know, go to another space, pray, count to 10, whatever you need to do. And I'll add here, if this is an area that you struggle in, I've talked openly about how I had some years where mommy anger was like my thing. I really struggled with my anger in parenting. Well, next week, I will be sharing an episode with a certified anger management coach. We're going to be talking about overwhelm, how that leads to destructive mommy anger, and how we can do things better. It's really packed. It's really practical. I think that'll be helpful. But with that, we want to discipline with self-control. And hopefully you can have a method, kind of some steps that you follow when you discipline. You know, getting your child in a controlled place, giving them a consequence depending on their age and stage and what you've chosen to do, whether that's a spanking done in love, whether that is telling them a consequence, which we'll get to a little bit later, whatever that looks like, you want to give them that consequence. And then hopefully you can take a minute to pray together, let them know that it's in love. They may not respond, you know, joyfully at that moment. They may be sad or mad, but as long as you're being the adult and you are communicating your love, then, and why you just did what you did, and just reminding them of how it can go different next time. I think that's really huge.
Yeah. And I know you would, you do this, but you maybe didn't mention it, but I think what I've seen you do and we've tried to do is we have a conversation even before we discipline our kids.
Yes,
you know, if there's like a spanking or something involved.
This is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. And you're doing it, and it's good for you as a parent, because you're taking time to process everything and your feelings and emotions about what your child has maybe done in terms of, you know, a violation or a disobedient act, and you're talking it through. And then so both of you together are understanding the process and what's happening there.
That's right.
And then there's some closure at the end, right?
Yes. And that's a great time too, to open up a Bible story or something to say like, oh, this reminds me of, and let it be a learning moment.
Right.
Okay. So we've covered spanking.
Well, we kind of have. I mean, do you think your listeners feel like they understand? Are they asking like, how do we spank, and like what that looks like?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, let's just be honest right now about one thing. We live in a world and a culture that's probably not in favor, generally speaking, of the idea of spanking. That's probably a word that's out of favor now, right?
Definitely.
Overall, I mean, it's probably just in small pockets of our culture, and probably in the Christian community mostly. I'm a physician. I work, you know, I'm in the ER a lot, and I'm sometimes around these things. I mean, there is, of course, no doubt about it, there are very horrible scenarios that can unfold between an adult and a child. And, you know, child abuse is a real thing. It's just one of the evils that is still present in our society. And that is something that's outside the context of what we're talking about.
100%.
And there are pathological, you know, people out there that have access to children.
Terrible.
May be a parent, but they just are not in a place to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm reserving this conversation for, again, parents, Christian parents that have a biblical understanding of discipline as we're discussing it, and are committed to their children and love them and do everything
I'm glad you're saying
in
this.
Their disciplining out of love.
Yes.
And so with that being said, it's just, there is a culture that's antithetical to to the things that we're talking about right. for the most part. And we have to be careful. I mean, in terms of how sure. we, you know, go about these things. I mean, I'm sure there's cases that you could, you know, find where parents have maybe been in jeopardy of, you know, having
absolutely yes
rights to be continuing as parents because they've right. been maybe accused of abuse or something like that mm-hmm. in the context of trying to do, you know, right. biblical discipline. So there's always going to be those cases. And there's always going to be the cases of people that are being cited that have nothing to do with what we're talking about yeah, that are
exactly.
not even appropriate to try to bring up as an example. So
right.
That's why we're going to kind of leave the very specific definitions up to you and mm-hmm. those that you respect and
right.
people within your church and
right.
friends and family and mostly just God's word and his yeah. spirit that will guide you in those things. But that's there are some good. Simple things that we've already offered, right? Just
sure.
on the
yes.
discipline side for
yes.
that's age appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And how else would you like to?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think one thing, some people really suggest never using your own hands. That's why I think a little flick with a rubber tubing or something can be helpful. Some people say, oh, because your hand, you know, is associated with holding and loving. I don't know. That's
yeah.
just an opinion.
Yeah.
But I think going with what you said, Dave, just figure out what is best and what works for you. But certainly know that we love you guys because this topic is one that most
very controversial
book editors would tell me, don't even go there, don't talk about it. So it's because I know so many of you have asked that I want to cover this. I just want to handle it really carefully. And I've said before that the times I regret the most in parenting are not about the times that I disciplined. They were the times that I didn't discipline and I let things build up to the point that I ended up losing my temper, yelling, screaming, and then feeling so much guilt and shame. And so looking back, I do not regret times I was intentional and loving in my discipline, but I do regret when I didn't because of what that led to. One thing I appreciate, Dave, in that Ephesians 6:4 verse is it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I love that it says, "Don't provoke them to anger," as if when you're disciplining and instructing them, they won't. Like, doing that is the opposite of provoking them to anger. You see what I'm saying? That
yeah.
contrast?
Yeah. I mean, you and I have been disciplined as children. I think it's more of just the anticipation of
sure.
discipline or being mm-hmm. upset about having to experience it. But I don't know if in the end, after we process it all, there's mm-hmm. a feeling of anger. In fact, you and I both are thankful for the discipline
yes.
that we had. I can remember a couple spankings that, man, I'm just so thankful that my parents
right.
disciplined me. And I, you know, who wishes they had less discipline in
Nobody.
Their life? I mean,
Nobody.
Discipline is what guides you and me to make
yeah.
the right decisions
yes.
as adults.
Yes.
And who doesn't need more of that?
Right.
And
our older boys might say their younger brother could use a little more still.
yeah. And that being said, our boys all across the board are so
Every
thankful
one of them.
For the discipline that
yeah.
they've received.
Luke almost got in here on this conversation with us because he's like, I'm happy to vouch for the discipline I received was helpful. And
we're not talking about just spankings. We're talking about
exactly.
just all the discipline that we
Yes, consequences, all of that. And of course, in the moment, our boys weren't excited. They might have been mad or sad, but it's in looking back that we can say that. But with that, before we wrap up, I will say this. Consequences in all different forms are extremely effective. And as kids grow up into those later elementary, middle school, teenage years, using consequences is going to be so effective. And you'll use consequences more so than physical discipline as they grow up,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so consequences is kind of its own category that we won't go too far into today. But I will offer a download, a printable download, where I cover the different types of consequences, which are going to be really helpful.
Right.
Should I just cover like a brief forecast of what that'll be?
Mm.
I love a quote by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, who wrote the Boundaries books. I think it was in their Boundaries in Parenting, something. One of their Boundaries books, they say, "People change when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of changing. consequences offer that motivation to change. So what they're suggesting is it's really important to give kids a consequence that's painful in some way. And that pain might be, I'm missing out on a play date or I don't have screen time, but giving a consequence. So the broad categories of consequences that will be in that principle over in show notes is natural consequences, which are number one. If you can use a natural consequence for your kids, please do. A natural consequence is when really mom and dad just allow kids to learn their own lesson. They leave a skateboard out in the rain. I'm from speaking from experience. The skateboard gets ruined. You don't run out and buy them a new one. You give them some extra work or a way to earn money to buy their own new skateboard. Mm-hmm. If kids put off a school project till the night before, mom and dad don't pull an all-nighter to rescue them. You say, I'm so sorry. You can offer empathy, but you allow them to do what they can and then to get the grade that they've earned.
Yeah.
Natural consequences really just require us to stay out of it.
Right. Interestingly, I think a lot of the non-spanking camp, that's kind of where they go to is like, you know, that's what it should all be about is natural consequences.
Which play a role, but they're not enough on their own.
If we're to be comprehensive and if we're to take, you know, all of scripture and apply it, you're missing out on an important component, right? If we leave out all the forms of discipline that we need speaking of. Yeah,
that's right.
But because the stages of development, there's going to be times where that's necessary.
Exactly.
A 1-year-old, 2-year-old may not fully be able to reason out this stuff that we're talking about for a teenager. And we don't want it to, because as we said, right?
I mean, they'd all die. Okay. But next to natural consequences, the next is just logical consequences. Mm. That's where kids do something, misbehave, act in some inappropriate way. And there may not be an easy natural consequence, but we can offer them what we call a logical consequence. Logical consequence simply is where we attach a consequence that's related in some way. So I like to say, if kids don't do their chore, they leave the kitchen a mess, and you get home and the kitchen's a mess, well, you say, okay, now you're going to have kitchen duty the next 2 days.
Right.
So it's related, though it doesn't happen naturally.
Yeah.
Or if kids, you catch them playing on a screen longer than they're supposed to, you put the game away for the rest of the week.
Right.
So you're attaching a consequence.
And maybe you didn't say it, but in more or less words, like you could say like the punishment needs to fit the crime. I mean,
yes.
I think that's where parents can run into some difficulties when the punishment is being escalated beyond kind of what's appropriate.
Exactly. And in fact, in the printable that you're going to get, there's a Dr. Jane Nelson, who's the author of the Positive Discipline series. And she suggests 3 things when you're using consequences. They ought to be related, respectful, and reasonable. So you can read more about that over there. But so you've got the natural consequences, the logical consequences, and then there's 2 other categories. One is a loss of privileges, which, like we talked about, this is where knowing your kid's currency will definitely come into play. Maybe, you know, an if-then kind of scenario. Mm. If you don't clean your room, you can't go play with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So loss of privileges. And then we like to use the 4th category, which is the dirty chores. Right?
Right. Like, not to be confused with
regular chores,
which we want our kids to do and learn to develop character from.
Yes, and we want them to take pride in their chores and to be helpful around the house. But I'm talking about that sliding door where there's always some gunk in there.
Hmm.
Well, that always needs to be cleaned out. So, you know, you want to do something that you know is going to, maybe you list these even. This is your chore that's waiting for you if you can't follow through on what you promised you'd do or what we asked you to do. Okay, now we're going to add a dirty chore to your list. Or the garbage can that needs to be rinsed out, scrubbed out. Take that outside. Hmm. That's a helpful extra chore.
Wow. So you have your little list.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Somebody's
got to
do it.
Oh, boy. Is that what you use on me sometimes?
No.
Okay.
No. So anyways, these are all creative, intentional ways that you can teach your kids lessons as they grow up through different stages of life.
It's really good.
Thanks. It's a lot of work, but I'm grateful for God's grace.
Yep. It's true. Yeah. And I would just it's like I want to insert it like on every kind of stage of the conversation here. But again, God's word gives us everything we need, and that's our guide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're sincerely seeking the Lord out in everything in your life, including your parenting, God's going to give you the wisdom from his word. It has the guardrails that are necessary to help you do this correctly, so that there's not, you know, some sort of fear or uncertainty about it. If, as you take time to dig into God's word, I mean, we tried to do that here, I think, through some of the scripture that we've kind of shared with throughout our conversation here. As you dig into God's word, it's going to give you everything that's necessary to get through this.
That's right.
And it'll give you the security that, you know, and your kids, the security they need, to get through the process of discipline as you raise your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So important. Thanks, Dave. Well, guys, I hope that we did this topic justice, or at least, you know, scratch the surface. In show notes, I'm going to have some suggestions for other podcast episodes we've heard from other people, and resources that might be helpful to you. And we're always here for you. If you have specific questions, feel free to email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. And Dave, thank you so much for joining me for this.
You're welcome.
And we'll have you back again, I think.
For another challenging, difficult, only the challenging just, and difficult just the, topics.
Really sticky
okay.
ones.
All right.
All right. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.